Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce the four talented performers who are going to play Just a Minute this week. We welcome back two of the long-standing players of the game, that's Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud, and two of our other regular but younger members of the show, that is Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes. Will you please welcome all four of them? This particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the International Edinburgh Festival, and we're playing here in the Pleasance Theatre before a very animated and excited fringe Edinburgh audience. They're getting quite hyped up there. Beside me sits Alison Harbord, who's going to keep the score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask the four panellists to speak, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Clement Freud, would you begin the first round, and the subject is Tam O'Shanter, a nice Scottish southerner. Will you talk for 60 seconds, starting now?
A Tam O'Shanter is an item of Scots headgear, which, like other Scottish apparel, is worn without anything between the skin and the garment.
And Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Well, sure, there's hair.
Where?
Clement was referring to the fact that he's a little bit thin on top, and but he didn't make it clear that it was, on his occasion, it would be nothing between the skin and the Tam O'Shanter. So, Derek, I agree with the challenge. You have a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. There are 48 seconds left. Tam O'Shanter starting now.
Tam O'Shanter is a poem written by the Bard of Scotland, Rabbi Burns. It concerns a man who went forth and drank a deal of malt whiskey and returned on his horse, which was called Maggie. And as he passed a particular church, he saw fiends, foul, gross, ghastly, knavish creatures inside the aforementioned place of worship. And particularly he saw a lady in a cutty sock. Now that is...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of he saw.
Yes, he saw. He saw too. Clement, I agree with the challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject. And there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
I find it very strange about Tam O'Shanter, the poem, because having officiated at Burns Night dinners over the years, I have never been in a state in which I was able to understand one word of what went on. He seemed to speak in a Scots accent.
And Tony Hawkes is...
Repetition of Scots. You said Scots in your
in the first when you were speaking previously, you did say Scots. So, Tony, a correct challenge, a point to you, and there are 4 seconds left on Tam O'Shanter, starting now.
I saw a very nice Tam O'Shanter worn in a fringe show called Kilts Akimbo.
So Tony Hawkes was then speaking as the whistle went, and whoever is doing that gets an extra point. So he's now in the lead. Tony, would you like to take the second round? We've got a lovely subject here. Extra virgin olive oil. Will you tell us something about it in this game? 60 seconds, starting now.
I cannot understand this at all. Extra virgin olive oil. Surely this is a slur on the virility of Popeye. Does this make Sweet Pea the new messiah? These questions need to be answered for me. Now, olive oil, I like to put it on my dressings and my salad, obviously. It's high in mono...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
You can't put olive oil on your dressing, you can put it in your dressing.
I think you're right, yes. You can do it, it's just stupid.
Yes. I think within the rules of the game, Derek, we give the benefit of the doubt to you. You take over the subject, another point to you, and there are 30 seconds left. Extra virgin olive oil starting now.
I don't quite see how somebody can be extra virgin. If you're Virgo intacta, that is sufficient. That is a totally sublime state. But to be extra virgin seems an absolute nonsense. But a particular kind of oil I myself use in a dressing with balsamic vinegar... Much tastier than me.
Paul Merton, your challenge.
We went into Welsh, I think, there.
We certainly hesitated. Paul, you have the subject, and you have 13 seconds on extra virgin olive oil starting now.
Whenever I go shopping down at my local supermarket, I always buy extra virgin olive oil, whether I need it or not. Consequently, I have 17 bottles at home, and I just don't know what to do with them. Sometimes I decide...
Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point for doing so, and we're moving to the third round. Derek Nimmer, would you take the shipping forecast? Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
The shipping forecast, that is something one listens to, or at least it floats past one's ears, day in, very often day out as well.
Tony Hawk's challenge first.
Repetition of day.
Yes, absolutely,
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
Well, listen.
Tony, the shipping forecast, and there are 52 seconds left, starting now.
Dogger, Cromarty, Finisterre, Cannon, all words that you hear on the shipping forecast, and they mean nothing to you at all. The most annoying thing I found about this broadcast is that one can be listening to a radio show that one is enjoying thoroughly, and then at the end of it, one is subjected...
Derek Nimmer.
One and one.
Mm-hmm. The two ones, yes. Shipping forecast is back with you, Derek, and there are 33 seconds left, starting...
North Etcera and South Ditto. Those are the more annoying places that they have on the shipping forecast. I imagine little trawler men outside Hull or Grimsby sitting in their boats waiting for the shipping forecast to come on. It must be the highlight of their day, because they know they won't drown if they hear it and take the right kind of precautions. Pull in their nets to go avast and away, and they sail back to their home port, to Donald's Way or Ronald's Way or all these other places.
And Cameron Detroit has challenged you.
Oh, yes.
There were a couple of Ronald's Way.
There's only one Ronald's Way.
He didn't repeat Ronald's Way. It sounded like it. He said something else,
Donald's
which was
Way.
Donald's Way, which is actually not.
In that case, if he said Donald's Way, it's deviation.
I know,
if he said Ronald's Way.
I was about to say, you would have had him for deviation on Donald's Way because it's not part of the shipping forecast, but you had him first for repetition, so I think it's only fair to give Derek a point and leave the shipping forecast with him with 6 seconds to go, starting now.
I turn on the knob.
Clement Freud.
Deviation of Donald's Way.
You can't have retrospective challenges.
Well, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't, and I think it was rather clever of him, so I think I'm going to give it to him. So, Clement, there are 5 seconds for you to tell us something about the shipping forecast, starting now.
I'm always very interested to know how things are in Lundy, because hardly anyone lives there.
Freud, speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point. He's now in second place with Tony Hawks. Paul, it is your turn to begin. The subject, telepathy. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now? A bonus point to Paul Merton for his telepathy. And, but what were the messages you were getting before I take Derek's challenge?
Well, I think everybody else picked it up. In the book.
Nicholas, though, is clearly a repetition of... Yeah.
That was the
another bonus
the
point
time.
To Tony Hawks, but let's take Derek... You challenge first, Derek. What was your challenge? You haven't got that.
Total silence. Well, if you can't have a total silence.
Within the rules.
The rules of the game. Yeah. Within the rules of the game, you can't have a total silence.
Within the
rules
of the game.
That's a new challenge. Maybe I'll allow that one.
I didn't hesitate. So I didn't repeat. I didn't deviate. I did nothing.
And we interpret that as hesitation. So, Derek...
Well, it's only hesitation if you then start.
If we pursue this argument, it's going to become so semantic, we're never going to get anywhere, and the show will never progress. So I'm going to give Derek a point for a correct challenge, and he has 48 seconds on telepathy, starting now.
The word telepathy was coined in the last century by Mr. Myers, and it actually means to be able to communicate with another person through a non normal method of...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Sort of hesitation, though.
A sort of hesitation, which I will grant, and you have 37 seconds to tell us something, we hope tell us something, about telepathy starting now.
The Russians have always been very keen on telepathy. At one point, they saw it as a secret weapon they could use against the West, so they had several people locked away in laboratories trying to communicate to each other via brick walls and that kind of thing. I can't see how useful it can really be, because if you can...
Derek Nimmo Challenge.
How do you communicate via a brick wall?
Did you say via a brick wall?
You did say via.
Well, you shout through it, then.
No, if they...
Someone's got a window open.
You could bounce off it.
If it's telepathetic, it would be coming through it. He wasn't using it as a sort of monitor in any way. I think it should have been through.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't, but I'm...
It was actually the Russian via brick wall telephonic communication symposium of 1948.
Oh,
if they get it wrong, that's got nothing to do with me.
I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Derek Nimmo, who has the subject with 21 seconds starting now.
I find after 39 years and 9 months of marriage that I can communicate with my wife at an extraordinary...
Tony Hawk Challenge.
I think you said communicate in your first...
You did say communicate before in this round. So, yeah. Tony, correct challenge, 14 seconds, telepathy starting now.
I am telepathic. For instance, I know now that I'm going to be buzzed. 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 I rest my case.
Freud came out and helped you out. But I guess give him a bonus point because that was a clever idea. Clement, you have another point for correct challenge. You take the subject and our 10 seconds telepathy starting now.
Another clever point which hasn't been used before, which would be instrumental in getting me an extra point, would be to vomit.
It's not very good radio, actually.
It's not very good television.
No. It's not very good being sat next to him, right?
But Paul Merton was the first to challenge.
It's repetition of point.
Yes, that's right. So, Paul, you've cleverly got it. 3 seconds to go on telepathy, starting now.
One of the most wonderful things that I ever personally witnessed...
Clement Freud challenge.
He said things before.
Yes. So, Clement, you've cleverly got in with 1/2 a second to go on telepathy, starting now.
Yes.
So at the end of that round, which we've had everything including vomit, I say that Tony Hawks is now in the lead, just one ahead of Clement Freud, Paul Merton and Derek Nimmo. And Clement, it's back with you to begin. The subject is wind power. Talk on the subject, please, starting now.
Wind power is an anagram of down wiper, which is pretty interesting. It is also, of course, wind power, a political party, the great strength of which is that if someone comes to your door on behalf of wind power, you know instantly by the smell what it is going to be. You know a conservative, a socialist...
Tony Hawk challenge.
I think repetition of no.
He did say no, yes. Tony, the subject, 39 seconds are left. Wind power starting now.
Wind power is supposed to be a very environmentally friendly form of generating power. However, it does make quite a lot of noise. I know people that have these things on their hills nearby their houses object to a whining noise which develops...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of noise.
There was too much noise, I'm afraid, Tony, yes. And you have wind power back with you, Clement, and 24 seconds left, starting now.
If you drive south along the 101, just before you...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
101.
Of all the roads you could have chosen, that was the one.
Where the windmills are.
21 seconds are left for you, Derek, on wind power, starting now.
In the 19th century, on the music hall stage in Paris, there was a perdudista, and he was able, by using one of his lower orifices, to blow out a candle at a distance of 2 meters. He used to lean forward on the stage, remove the piece of clothing around this particular hole, and actually emit noises and wind power.
Derek Nimmo was speaking, got the extra point. Only 1 point separates them all. Tony, will you take the next round? The subject, bills. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
It is a source of some disappointment to me that Bill's is so much more impressive than mine. I wouldn't mind if he kept quiet about it, but he rings me up and harps on about it all the time, saying, Tony, my one is terrific. His phone bill, of course, arrives on
Oh, Derek Nimmer, you challenged. There was no sound, but your light came on.
Well, I challenged quite a long time back, because he waited for a laugh, which you're not allowed to do, instead of keeping on talking. And so
did you say I'm a trained comedian?
Tremendous.
I get thrown out of the Comic Union if I talk over a laugh.
He's riding the laugh.
Yeah,
we used to try and ride the laugh. In, I know, with a fringe audience, of course, if ain't able to ride them because they're so vociferous. But, Derek, you were correct. 38 seconds left. On bills, starting now.
When a ship sets forth on...
Tony challenged.
He hasn't got any laughs.
Don't rub it in.
Sorry.
Derek, you have 36 seconds on bills, starting now.
The master keeps a copy of the bill of lading. One is given to the merchant, and another one is kept behind in the dockyard. And the thing, when you arrive in a port, and you're...
And Paul Merton Charles.
I'm just building up to my laugh.
I know. Repetition of port, I think.
Yeah, I think we
Not
had a port.
This time.
Yes, you had port before. Paul, 25 seconds on bills, starting now.
I get bills all the time. I don't know why. It's nothing to do with me. They pop through the letterbox. I open them up. Oh, dear, there's another 185 quid I've got to spend on something or other, which I've already had anyway, and I don't remember having it in the first place. That's free havings. I don't care, because I'm very annoyed about it. Telephone bill, there's one. £65 the other day. That's £5 again.
The Clement Freud challenge.
Well, it's all rubbish.
It may be rubbish, but there's no rule in just a minute.
Well, there was repetition of one.
Yes, there was, and pounds, and a number of other things, yes, right. 11 seconds, Clement, on Bill, starting now.
The kings William the First, Second, Third, and Fourth are colloquially known as the Royal Bills, and many people will tell you their dates, both of succession and the years of...
So Clement Freud has now taken the lead along with Derek Nimmer, one ahead of Tony Hawks and two ahead of Paul Merton. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is Great Walls. Will you talk about Great Walls starting now?
Well, I suppose Max Wall must be one of the Great Walls. A wonderfully sublime comedian, dressed in black with floppy hair, extraordinary boots. He made me laugh probably more than anyone, except Tom Walls was a very funny man. Won the Derby with April the 5th, worked with Robinson Hare and other comedians, and the Great Wall of China. Wan Li, as it's known in Mandarin. Wan means 10,000.
Tony Hawk's chance.
Repetition of Wan.
Yes, absolutely. One was Wan.
Yeah.
W-A-N, the other one was
O-N-E. But they both sounded the same, so that's how we go in just a minute. 36 seconds are left for Great Walls with you, Tony, starting now.
The greatest wall I have ever seen is a wall built by my neighbour, Mr. Cooper, in my back garden. He climbed over in the night and started work on it against my...
Paul Merton Chance.
Repetition of my...
Yes. Right, 26 seconds, Paul, on Great Walls, starting now.
Oh, the Russians had the right idea, because in 1948 they tried to get this telepathic experiment by our Great Wall. And the West were intensely amazed by this. This is an example of somebody who's continually talking, even though there is a laugh. It was one I could have rode, but in this occasion I decided to just keep going all the way through. And here's another one again, okay? Now this is wild applause. Perhaps the greatest wall I've ever come across is the one that runs from Great Yarmouth all the way to Moscow. It's little known because most of it is under the water, and I'm very well aware that nobody is going to buzz me because they're going to see how long I can speak for without interrupting myself or hesitation or repetition or deviation. Meanwhile, the following week, I was still talking about this wall. I think there's something about the way one brick goes on top of another one that I really enjoy, you know. You've got a mortar down and you can build it as high as you like. There's a man in Halifax who's built a wall all the way up to the moon. The trouble is he can't use it because he can't find a stepladder long enough. His next door neighbour, he's got the right idea. We have got another recording after this, have we?
So, Paul Merton was then speaking 30 seconds after the whistle should have gone.
And the rest.
And he not only gets a point for not being interrupted, he gets a bonus point for continuing, and so he gets 3 points on that. It put him in the lead. He's one ahead of Clement Freud and Tony Hawks. And no, all three are equal in second place. And one ahead is Paul Merton. And Paul, it's your turn to begin.
Could we have a drug test?
Right, Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is dates. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
April the 8th. March the 17th. February the 29th. What do all these dates mean? Yes, they belong to the great British calendar year. I'm pleased that we can stand up with pride and patriotically say, January the 21st, and be done with it. There's something about it. Why is it that we love our dates so much? Either people gather around on Christmas Day, December the 25th, exchange pleasantries.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of 20.
Yes, you had 28 before, and now you have the 25th. It's true, don't look so... Just because you've managed to coax this audience into the...
Oh, no, he isn't.
Oh, yeah. Won them over. I've got to be fair with him just a minute. Derek's challenge was correct. 33 seconds, Derek, on dates, starting now.
I suppose the most important date in British history, to me at any rate, is 1453, when we won the battle, or rather lost.
Paul Merton challenge.
Did you say won the battle? Was this the great bakery wars of the 1500s?
It was a bit of the telepathy that was going through that wall in Russia. It got diverted into bun, but it was deviation from English as we speak it usually. So, Paul, you have the subject of dates back. 26 seconds starting now.
I remember from my history lessons at school the great BAP divide of the 16th century, where these articles were...
Derek, you challenge first.
Using some of my dialogue. Yeah. Repetition.
Hesitation. 19 seconds. Dates with you, Derek. Starting now.
1066, I suppose, change.
Clement Freud challenge.
66.
No.
60 and 6.
Mm. Well, it's like 25 and 28. I mean, if you're going to give that...
He had the word 20, he repeated. 66 is a 60 and a 6.
There are two sixes in it.
If you write it down, but not if you speak it. Oh, God, they'll twist anything to try and get me in. There are 17 seconds left, Derek. I disagree with the challenge. Dates are still with you, starting now.
William the Conqueror landed at Hastings, and poor old King Harold copped it in the eye with an arrow. If you go to Bayeux, you can see the famous tapestry depicting this terribly tragic scene. But for England, it was a tremendous help. We were governed by the Normans...
Tony Hawk's a challenge.
I've decided this is deviation.
Yes.
Because he's not really talking
He's no longer talking about dates. He's talking about the Battle of Hastings, yes, and Bayeux tapestry. Right. So... Tony, you've got in with 3 seconds to go on dates, starting now.
The first date I ever went on was with a delightful young lady called Maria...
You'll never know what Maria and Tony did on that first date.
I'll tell you if you like.
Maybe you should save it. Right.
That's what I thought
it's
on the night.
Very, very...
Did it involve any deviation or repetition?
No, unfortunately, no repetition at all.
Any hesitation?
Oh, plenty of that.
Should make it the next subject.
So it's still very close. Derek Nimmo's in the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton and Tony Hawks, and Clement Freud is just behind them. Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, nursery rhymes. Will you tell us something about that subject, starting now?
I listened to a lot of nursery rhymes when I was little. The one that puzzled me the most was the one that started Wee Willy Winky. I wanted to know what would happen in this rhyme, but my mother would never tell me the end of it. London Bridge is falling down is another one which... This is just boring.
Clement, you challenge.
It's just boring. Yeah. Yeah.
So he hesitated and deviated. So, Clement, you have the subject. 44 seconds, nursery rhyme starting now.
Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. The timepiece struck one, but the other two managed to get away. This is about as close as you can get to a nursery rhyme in just a minute, because on the whole, this type of verse is repetitive, devious, and pretty boring. politically, many of the nursery rhymes owe their existence to some sort of article or panache or weapon in which...
Don't name a chance.
Repetition of "or" or "very, very slow indeed."
Yes, he was getting slower and slower. 11 seconds. Nursery rhymes with you, Derek, starting now.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. There came a big spider and sat down beside her, and she said, "Piss off, hairy legs." That's the rhyme that came to me about my 8-year-old grandson. It's quite the thing.
Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went and has moved forward one ahead of our previous leader, Tony Hawkes. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Waterloo. Will you tell us something about Waterloo in this game, starting now?
Waterloo is, or the Waterloo Cup.
Paul Merton Chance.
Hesitation?
I think it was hesitation, yes. There are 58 seconds on Waterloo with you, Paul, starting now.
I remember once trying to cross the Sahara Desert. There was me and Lou. And he was desperate. He was thirsty. He wanted something to drink. And I turned to him and I thought, well, I'll have to Waterloo because you're the person that's carrying all the food supplies and I can't be bothered to take them all the way across the other side of this aforementioned place, which is don't got much grass and so you could say is a kind of desert. Why did I bother doing that?
Right.
The very word I tried to avoid, I then voluntarily said.
I know, but you're revealing some of the stresses of just a minute to the audience. Right. 36 seconds are available for you, Derek, to take over. Waterloo starting now.
The Waterloo Cup is where all the hottest dogs run. It is held outside Aintree. It was founded by Mr. Lynn, who started also the Grand National, and it's early in February, and it is the premier event for coursing. Greyhounds will chase at the Waterloo Cup after one...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of cup.
Yes, you had a cup before, I'm saying. Derek, Paul, you've got Waterloo back, and you've got...
I don't want it.
18 seconds on Waterloo, starting now.
One of the Kinks' best ever songs, I think, was Waterloo Sunset, a beautiful song written by Ray Davis, who at that time was the leader of the aforementioned group. And it's a beautiful...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of aforementioned.
Oh. Yes. It's obvious you didn't want it. Yes. Clement, you've got in on Waterloo. 11 seconds are left, starting now.
I think one of the very saddest things about the Battle of Waterloo was that Kate Adie was not there. But for her, it would have been an absolutely sensational.
Finishing on that high note, I now have to give you the final score because we have no more time to play just a minute. It was a very close game. I'd hate to say there was a winner because I think they were all winners. But Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes...
I was the least winner.
No. Clement Freud, together equal with the least winners, they were 2 points behind Derek Nimmo, who we say, for this edition, was our winner. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains for me to thank our four outstanding players of the game, and also Alison Harbert, who's kept the score and blown the whistle for us so magnificently, and also our producer, Anne Jobson, and of course particularly Ian Messiter, who thought of the game, without whom we wouldn't still be playing it, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, until we take to the air once more and play Just a Minute, from all of us, goodbye.